habits of the household, and I believe they have done that class in the past as well. So it gives you an opportunity to take that if you haven't in the past. Andrew Miller, Tiffany Andrew, be doing finances. The youth asked for, we asked them what they would like, and they said they would like to see a class on finances. And so he's doing a Dave Ramsey class on finances, kind of geared towards youth. And so, and then we're planning a ladies class, and it's to be determined yet exactly what that's going to be. And so we'll keep you informed as soon as we get that ironed out. And then Kevin Bontrager will be doing something with the junior youth. So that starts again September 9th through October 7th, 5 Wednesday evenings. Supper will be served. A dinner will be served each night at 6:15 to 6:45. So this is an opportunity for you to get a free meal and come out and be encouraged. Classes start at 7 o'clock, and child care will be provided. For those of you with children, there will be child care here. And then also, the sign-up is on the bulletin board for all the classes and for child care registration as well. And then we're also going to need volunteers to help with the babysitting and child care. So Frieda Miller, Roy Frieda, is in charge of that. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for that as well. So if that's something that you would be able to help out with, that would be greatly appreciated. They're going to need at least 10 to 12 volunteers to help with that. And there's also an online sign-up. Josh set up a registration online for all these classes. So you can go on your phone, you can go on the Gospel Haven website and sign up for each class online. And then we will be giving a presentation on each of these classes throughout the following Sundays here before the classes actually start, so you can make a better decision on which class you would like to take. So Leon's in the back with a microphone. He's going to give you a presentation on what the study in Malachi is going to consist of. So go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, good morning. So presenting the class of John Harrison, he's here this morning. So John, you want to stand up? People can see who you are. I told him I'll try not to mess this up. So anyway, you can be seated again. But I think he was here last year and did a class in life in Richmond. I think he did Life of Joseph. And had a pretty good attendance in that. Me and my wife had the privilege of being in that class, and we really thoroughly enjoyed it. John's way of teaching and his tying in humor, he's got a good way to do that. And so it just keeps you interested in seeing what the next lesson will be. And I'm looking forward to the study he's going to be doing this year. The book of Malachi is the last chapter in the Old Testament. And so John sent me a kind of an overlay of what it will be about. He said, "Be aware, the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. May just challenge your heart to worship the Lord faithfully, to serve the Lord correctly, and give the Lord only committed vows." And then kind of the introduction and promotion to that is, have you ever wondered if God is pleased with you and with what you are doing? And the next one is, have you ever wondered how God reacts? And it's when we don't treat him as we should, when we don't make him priority in our lives, when we disappoint him knowingly or unknowingly. And So when God does have last words to tell before he takes a 400-year-long break from speaking through prophets, aren't you at least a bit interested? I believe that in our study of Malachi, we will find the last words are uncannily revelation for us. And actually, I believe the book of Malachi offers a clear picture of the directions for the people of our lives, or the purpose of our lives, sorry. So, looking forward to that. And like Mike said, I think the sign-up sheets are back here. So we encourage you to sign up and don't wait on the peer pressure. You be the peer pressure.
Thank you for sharing that, Leon, and thank you, Mike and Katie, and all of those of you who are involved with planning the fall life enrichment classes. I did have some announcements for the youth real quick. Pickleball and basketball on August 16th, and a shopping thrifting day for the ladies August 22nd. I also have some prayer requests here that I'd like to go over. If any of you have a prayer request, please let us know. Continue to pray for the families who are grieving, Ruby Miller and the Miller family, Elsie and the Koblenz family. Also, don't forget about Chris and the Brian Austin family and the Barkman family. Also, just this past week was the tragic loss of Marcus Miller. So pray for Travis and Eva. It would be Eva's brother who was killed in a motorcycle accident. Just pray for the Miller family. And also pray for the Ben Miller family. Ben was a dad to Mary, Wayne and Mary. Just pray for them. Also pray for Krista. This would be Henry and Krista. She had appendix surgery this past week. I think it was Thursday or Friday night. And just pray for her for a speedy recovery. And also pray for Luann Weaver. That would be Mike Luann. She went into the hospital with two blood clots on her lungs. And she is getting IV treatment to help break up those blood clots. Just pray that the treatment would be successful and that they would not have any further complications and that they could come home. So just continue to pray for our people, the needs around us. Let's be aware of those needs, especially those who are grieving. There's no other prayer requests. Young men, thank you for having the mics up front. You can go have a seat, and we'll pray. And I do have one more announcement I'll make after I pray here. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come before you and just worship you in freedom and spirit and truth. I pray that you would just quiet our hearts and minds from the distractions of this past week and help us to be able to focus on you during this time of worship and also during the message. Pray that you would just bless Travis and the worship team as they lead us in songs, and bless Kurt as he has a message from your word. Just pray that you would pour out your spirit on him. Father, we have many needs in our church body. We have a lot of families who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We're so thankful for the hope, the life that we have through Jesus. And we're thankful for the testimonies of those who have passed away. They had a relationship with you, Jesus, and they're pain-free. They're more alive today than they ever were. And even though they're in a better place, they're in your arms, Jesus, we still grieve their loss. And we pray for the families. Pray for Ruby and the Miller family, Elsie, the Koblenz family, Chris, the rest of the Brian Austin family, the Barkman family, the Marcus Miller family, the Ben Miller family. Father, help them to feel your presence, and your comfort, and your peace as they walk through the stages of grief and loss and loneliness. Help us as a church body to know how to come around them and to care for them in this time of grieving. We pray for those who are recovering in the hospital. Think of Krista, Henry. Just pray that your presence would be with them and your healing touch would be over Krista. Also, we pray for your healing for Luann, that the blood clots could dissipate and that there would be no further complications. Just bring healing to her body. Father, help us to continue looking outward as a church, that we would look at needs around us in our community and beyond. We think of our missionaries throughout the world this morning who are serving you. I pray for Dustin in Bangladesh, Hannah in Africa, Robert and Ruth in Florida, Michelle in Jamaica, Darlene as she's traveling in Asia, Justin and Kim at Fair Play in South Carolina, Leon and Nikki at Wilderness Way in South Carolina. Pray that your presence would be with each one of them today, and that you would just care for their needs both physically and spiritually and protect them. Pray that you would just go with us throughout the remainder of the service today. May you be honored and glorified for everything that is done and said here at Gospel Haven today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do have one more announcement I'd like to share before you guys start singing. So this is regarding the upcoming leadership ordination. Brittany and I, after praying through this and receiving counsel, we've been talking with the pastoral team and the leadership team, and we've just shared that we would like our name to be excluded from the upcoming leadership ordination. And that's quite simply because of the season of life that our family is in. We have a young family, and we don't feel like we would be able to serve the church in the capacity that would be needed of a lead pastor. Now, I say that to say that we are happy to continue in the role that we are in. We love this church. We love serving you all, and we plan to continue as associate pastor, and we also are planning to support whoever God puts in to that leadership role. We have very capable candidates, and we say this to also say that we have no conflict with the leadership team, and we will look forward to supporting whoever God chooses for that leadership role. Also, I do want to say that we shared this with the leadership team. We shared that we are happy to participate as much as possible in the leadership ordination as far as participating with the tests, spiritual gifts tests, disc tests, the interviews, because we understand that this transition is not going to just affect the person that is put into the lead pastor position. It's going to affect the dynamics of our entire leadership team. So if you guys have any questions or concerns, if you want to talk to Brittany and I would welcome you to do that. We'll be glad to talk to you if you want to just communicate your thoughts with us. And I ask that you'd continue to pray for our leadership team as we get ready for this transition, that God would have his way. We believe he will. And we just pray that that his will would be done. So thank you all, and I'll turn the time over to Travis.
Thanks, Josh. I want to invite you to stand as we sing this morning. We'll sing. Together as a church, right? The Lord is my salvation.
Now, glory be to God.
You know, I really appreciate what Josh prayed before we started singing here, and he just, you know, we talked about this as a team, even before we came out here. It's kind of difficult as a worship leader, thinking about picking songs for a church, kind of through the time that we're going through right now, and I know that there's a lot of you out here who have just experienced loss. Maybe some of you are experiencing a time of plenty right now, and that's great. And it's like, how do you plan a set list? How do you plan songs for a church that is going through times like this? And I just hope and pray that the songs that we choose can be an encouragement to everyone here, and a place where we can cling to that hope that we have, right? We're going to introduce another song, a new song this morning that I think you guys are going to like it. Psalms 34, and thinking of you know what we just talked about with some of us being at different seasons. No matter what season we're in, being able to be at a place where we can say, I can bless the Lord. I'm going to rejoice. I have a reason to rejoice. We always have a reason to rejoice. Whether we're in a season of loss, whether we're in a season of plenty. Psalms 34, interestingly enough, this was a psalm from David when he had to pretend madness before Abimelech, who drove him away. So you think of the difficult time that David was going through, and the Lord spared him, the Lord helped him through that time. And this is what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The song is called Rejoice.
Thank you. Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. What a privilege to be together today. Psalm 27, 1 through 14. We're going to be looking at the chapter of Psalm 27. We're going to be focusing on the last verse, verse 14 of this chapter. Let's all read verse 14 together. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'd like for us to start off a little bit differently before we go into prayer this morning. I'd like for all of us to just close your eyes. Take a deep breath. I want us to picture ourselves kneeling before the Lord, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. And I want each of us to ask ourselves, God, what are you showing me? I've been thinking personally the last while about all the loss and the big holes that have been left by people that God has called home, saints that God has called home. And as you keep your eyes closed and just think about that question, Lord, what are you showing us through this? What do you want to speak? And I want you to visualize yourself with all the burdens that you're carrying from this year, this past week, from relationships. Picture yourself with those, holding those burdens in your arms and laying them all down and letting them go. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why does he say that? Because right before that he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, because of that, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So because of that, as we together picture ourselves before Christ, Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. Father God, as we think about the word wait this morning, we ask God that you would speak into our hearts. We all represent different stories, different paths that we're on. And as believers, you are going before us. You're behind us. You're around us. You're in us. And so often, God, we just find ourselves trying to take the whole burden ourselves. We rush through life, and we don't pay attention. And so, God, this morning, would you just speak into each one of our situations? And we ask, God, that you would go before us this morning during these next minutes, and that you would teach us, God, how to wait. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked myself this question. God, what are you trying to show us? And God has prompted me to just say, take inventory of your life. What's happening in your life? And God is calling me to a deeper connection with him. Now, there's a lot more that God wants to tell me that other than just those two things. My prayer today is that we can leave here with a spirit that's the spirit of peace that passes all understanding, regardless of what you're facing today. The title of the sermon today is Waiting on God. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, you can turn to that and you can linger there throughout the message today. For sake of time, I'm going to just highlight a few things in Psalm chapter 27, and I'm going to give you your homework for this week is to meditate on Psalm chapter 27, all right? So I'm just going to give you some highlights to get you started off here for the week. Verse 1, courage. Verse 2, justice. 3, courage and confidence, or a confident courage. Verse 4, seek, dwell, behold. 5, hide, and a firm place to stand. Verse 6, victory, joy, song. 7, cry to be heard. 8, seek. 9, plea for help. 10, longing for nurture. 11, humility. Teach me, he says, David. 12, keep me. 13, believe in God's goodness. 14, it all at once changes. And he gives a command, and it's a command with a promise. Command to wait. The promise is strength. Strengthen your heart. And this theme of waiting on God, in general, let me ask the question, how many here get up in the morning thinking, I'm looking forward to seeing how much I can wait today? Anybody? I drove through Berlin on Friday, and I had patience for, I did, Reuben, but it was only for about 30 seconds. And to my shame, I couldn't understand why you would stop in the lane that I'm traveling in, going east in the middle of Berlin, and you just stop. And nobody, there's no reason to stop. Like, out ahead, there's a green light, keep moving. And I got frustrated, and I honked my horn at it. Thankfully, when I passed them on the light, it was nobody from church. What do we learn when we're waiting? What does it look like to wait? We see this thread of waiting throughout all of Scripture. And we wait for things. In fact, some of the Bible characters that you can add a big list to this, but just a few of them. Noah waited 120 years till the flood came. He was active, though, during that time. He didn't just sit around and say, God, build the ark. But he waited, right, for 120 years. But then it happened. Abraham and Sarah, they waited 25 years from the time they were promised a son till that son was born, Isaac. Now, they took things into their own hands during those 25 years because they were tired of waiting. There's no way that the woman's going to have a baby at this age. So let's come up with our own plan, and we know how that turned out. Not so well. Ishmael was born, but here's something beautiful, a little side note about that. Ishmael was also blessed by God. We can make mistakes, right? We can go ahead on with our own agenda, and God is loving, compassionate, and he, as we make mistakes, he's there to pick us up. And as we confess them to God and move on, he cares. He forgives. Jonah, he waited, but he had a pretty rotten attitude about waiting in Nineveh. The disciples in the New Testament waited 10 days in prayer till the Holy Spirit came, from the time Jesus rose from the dead there. This theme of waiting. Now, I got a question. These people got their answers, right? Flood came. Isaac came. Holy Spirit came. Judgment came on Nineveh. So was it time to stop waiting? We got the answer, right? As I was studying here, I started to realize there's like these two different forms of waiting. We can wait on an answer, and it's very important to do that. But what about my lifestyle? Do I have a lifestyle of waiting? My lifestyle didn't work out too good in Berlin, or it showed up, okay? From life until death, God wants us to live a lifestyle of waiting and waiting on Him to move in our lives. And we're speaking to believers here today. But if you're here and you are not a believer, I ask you, what's keeping you from pressing in? What's keeping you from selling out for Christ? He's waiting. God's patience is perfect. As I went down, as I read through Psalm 27, I started to get this picture with the command at the end, wait on the Lord. And these times that we spend one-on-one with God, that we spend letting Him speak into our lives alone while we're with Him. Maybe we're reading His Word. Maybe we're praying. Maybe we're just sitting there listening, watching a sunset, watching a sunrise. Those in those times, what am I letting God speak to me? And I started to realize that David left us a beautiful picture all through the Psalms, but in 27, he was actually waiting on God as he penned those words. So he had a heart of waiting on God. We are going to look at what happens when we actually build that into our lives, build the practice of waiting on God in our lives. And I just identified a number of things that we're going to have put on the screen here. Obedience, surrender, renewed strength, blessed. We are blessed when we wait on God. God hears us. Patience and deliverance, rock and refuge. And as I looked into other scripture passages, and I decided not to put the whole passage up, you can write those down and look them up later, but I'm going to highlight them as we go through these one at a time here. Obedience. So we're given a command, wait on the Lord. In Psalm 37, 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep His way. There's a command. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way. What does it mean to keep His way? So we're doing both, right? Waiting is not just a state of being where we're, all right, we're waiting for the noon meal today, right? We can be waiting in that way, and it's not wrong. But the mentality, the attitude, the spirit of waiting on God, to obey that, it takes obedience to do it, right? It's not just going to happen. And it takes surrender. You could also put humility with that. And I want us to ask ourselves today, what is God asking us to surrender? What is God asking you to surrender? To give up. Our lifestyles, I think anybody, if you ask around after church, somebody's going to say, that's been a busy week. And that's kind of how our life can be very easily. I want to challenge us to slow down. To carve out space for God. One-on-one, I'm talking about one-on-one time with God. Now, our whole lives of living for Christ, going to work, taking care of our responsibilities, raising our children, these are things we're called to do. But I'm talking here about carving out time to spend with God. On a paper, you have margins, right? If somebody writes from top left corner all the way across and fills that paper all the way down through, there's no margins there. You look at it and you about go, it's like, okay, let's go on to the next one. Let's not read that one. That guy got excited. We need margin in our lives for when things go wrong. We need space. We need to build it into our lives. This last fall, going on a year ago already, had the privilege to be on a up on a canoe in a on a river in Canada, and this particular canoe was very loaded down, and I got a picture of it. I think we got 2 inches above the water, and we had a half a mile to go. It was through a little bay, so we knew it was, and the winds were not too crazy. But when I looked at that picture, some of the guys with us, one of the guys, he said, I don't like that. There's no room for air. All your belongings are going to end up in the bottom of the river. And it was me and my son, and we're like, let's go, let's go. Let's not listen to the guy on the bank. Let's just go. So we jumped in and we went, and we made it. While we were going, we stayed along the bank in case something would go wrong, right? We stayed along the bank and all the way to camp, 2 inches above the water. As we were going, my son was sitting out front watching for something, logs or rocks, and in case something came, he could push us out of the way. Well, something came all right, and we missed it by inches, and it was a log that was, if it would have been tilted the other way, it would have flipped us. And we literally missed that log by inches. And we saw it, there was nothing we could do. We saw her go by. If we would have hit that log, if that log would have been tipped the other way, coming the other angle, it would have caught us. So we thought we had everything under control, and thank the Lord, it turned out all right. We got back to camp dry, and nothing was on the bottom of the river. But our lives, our spiritual lives, are the same way. And I know, because I've been there, and I find myself there often. In fact, right now in my life, I find myself too close there, of the margins getting thinner and thinner. And it takes choices. What am I going to surrender? What am I going to give up? Isaiah 40, we also, when we wait on God, we have renewed strength. Excuse me. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Lamentations 3, 25 and 26, it's a prophecy, or it's a lament about the, not a prophecy, it's a lament about the fall of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 25 and 26, he says, as he's thinking about the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, and he comes towards the end of the chapter, he says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He renews our strength. Isaiah 30, 18, blessed are those who wait for him. You want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I want God to bless me. I'm not talking about money, okay? But I want God's blessing on my life. Micah 7:7, God hears us. Micah 7:7 says, therefore I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He chooses, he says, I will wait. And with confidence, he says, my God will hear me. Patience and deliverance, Psalm 40:1-3. Says a psalm, it's a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined, or he bent down. He reached for me, and because he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. It's going to spring out of us. We're waiting on the Lord continually. And many times while we wait, we want to pick up that burden and we take it right back on ourselves. I can do this. I can do this on my own. And we know it doesn't work. Rock and refuge, Psalm 62:5-8. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation or my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He, Jesus, God, is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Let's hear this, okay? Psalm 62:8. We're waiting, right? We have an attitude of waiting on God. Trust in him at all times, you people. That's us. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And that word Selah means a reflective pause. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up for a song here at the end. A couple quotes that I came across. A little devotional book called Waiting on God. Murray is the guy's last name. I can't remember his first name. A quote from there. The waiting teaches us of our absolute dependence and empowers us in perfect patience. The act of waiting. And the other thing, I don't know, it's not necessarily a quote, but that God impressed on my mind. The condition of my soul impacts our circumstances. Kind of basic and to the point, but the impact of my soul. The condition of my soul impacts our circumstances. What is the position of your soul this morning waiting on God? And I'd like to just close with a prayer. I have these little, I found this at the bookstore, a little stack of prayer cards that I can pray over my sons. And I've really enjoyed that. And I pulled one out here recently as I was studying for this waiting on God topic. And I thought, how fitting. Let's just convert this to us instead of my sons. And so I did that. And I would like to pray this prayer over us today. Let's all stand. Bow our heads and let's pray. God, we find ourselves so often overwhelmed by busy schedules, God. There's lots of good things to do. And then there's pressures to succeed according to the world's standards. and we find ourselves, God, pushing, striving, driving, and we're wearing ourselves out. God, I pray that you would call us away from the busyness and give us a quiet rest, God. Father God, refresh our souls, renew our strength. And Jesus, help us to remember once again how you provide everything we need. We don't have to force it. And God, set us free from working and striving on our own, carrying the burden by ourselves. We need each other, God. You've given us brothers and sisters to walk this path. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to our brothers and sisters walking the paths beside us that need help. Help us, God, not to just focus on ourselves, but to look around us, Lord. God, we just desire your peace to surround us as we quiet ourselves in your presence. And Jesus, we claim your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. God, we choose to live our lives waiting on you and experiencing you daily as we wait. Thank you, Jesus, for the power that you have given us through your Holy Spirit in us. May we walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, would you just empower us as we surrender to you and as we wait on you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kurt, are we going to dismiss after this? I can, unless you want to. Okay. All righty. So they'll have to wait for me to sing the song and then wait for the prayer, too. So. That was a good message. I think when Kurt was telling his story about driving through Berlin and honking his horn, I kind of felt my wife giving me the side eye there. I can be the same way. We get so impatient. I tend to be impatient. I told my wife this summer, for us for sure, and it's kind of our word for the summer has been patience. With my leg healing and just other things, it's, I don't know, God's teaching me too. So it's a good challenge for all of us. Let's sing this song together yet before we dismiss, all right?
We believe in one God the Father, the Almighty, the Maker of all, the one who rules the seen and unseen. We believe and we adore Jesus Christ, one Lord of creation, from the Father begotten, not made.
Be with our time of fellowship afterwards. I'm going to ask for your blessing over the food. And God, as we go through the rest of this week, I ask that you would just allow Kurt's challenge of waiting, learning how to wait on you to be front and foremost in our minds. Help us to be able to do that. May your spirit go with us. In Jesus' name, amen.